I am the Alpha and Omega. Thought really closely about possibly calling today's message the All in All, but I wanted to keep that I am thing, you know? And people were saying, well, wait, weren't you doing the I ams of John? I said, no, I'm doing the great I ams, because we've already passed 7. This is number 9. This is the last one, okay? We're going to wrap up our sermon series today, the great I am, by looking at the times that Jesus told us that he is the Alpha and Omega. So when did Jesus say those words? Well, if you read any of your bulletin, you probably know that it's in the book of Revelation. So over in the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus said this 3 different times. The first time is over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And the second time is in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. There the Lord says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the last one is in the last chapter of the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, we are not going to be doing a study of Revelation, at least not right now. We're going to finish up the epistles of John, 2 John tonight. And then we'll do the Gospel of John and eventually the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. But, of course, we do want to see what Jesus means when he says that he is the Alpha and Omega in our texts. And, of course, what that means to you and me. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. So what does all that mean? Well, let's first talk about what it means for Jesus to be the Alpha and Omega. Simply put, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So what Jesus is telling us here is that he is the first and he is the last. In other words, Jesus was literally the beginning of all things, and Jesus will literally be the end of all things. Another way to put it, using our alphabet, is that Jesus is the A and he's the Z, right? He encompasses everything in between as well. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, Z. There you go. I don't know. You ever do that when you were a kid? See how fast you could say the alphabet? Anyway, I did. Maybe I had no time. That's what happens when you're an only child. You come up with weird games to play against yourself. How long can you hold your breath? I saw something right now here. I'm digressing. Let me forget that. Okay, well, anyway, Jesus is before time, and he will be after time. There is no beginning and there is no end to Jesus, just like was said of Melchizedek. And no, Jesus is not Melchizedek. That's another story for another time as well. Anyway, Jesus was and is to come. Just think about the eternal implications of all that. Never mind worrying about, I don't know, being first or last in anything. If you're a Christian, I was first in line, but someone cut in front of me. I was first over here, but someone got... Don't worry about that. And that's because Jesus is the first in all things, okay? And that's because, again, he is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. And really, when you think about all that, that's great news for you and me. So how do we know that Jesus is the beginning? Well, simple answer is the Bible tells me so, okay? Over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, we're told that Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And to see more about how Jesus is before all things and how he holds things together, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, tell us that in the beginning was the Word, And that's Jesus. And we know that from later on in the chapter, okay? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And so Jesus was the beginning of all things. And Jesus will literally be the end of all things too. And we know that because of the last words of the Bible. Again, found in the last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the end. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Again, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Okay. What does that mean for you and me? Well, first, being the Alpha and the Omega means that Jesus is God. And while we can see that in passages like we've read from the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and like when Jesus tells us that He and the Father are one, and like when He told the disciples that if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, you know, we can gather all that from the text. But still, it's not by accident that Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation that He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When we do eventually get to the book of Revelation Sunday nights, one of the most important things to understand is a lot of language is borrowed from the Old Testament. And don't you know, that phrase is also found in the Old Testament. We see that the Father uses the same words to describe Himself. Over in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, we read that this is what the Lord, Yahweh, L-O-R-D, those from our class on Wednesday night know that's God's name, right? This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Sound familiar? Apart from Me, there is no God. Now, if the Lord, that's Yahweh, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, says, I am the first and the last, apart from Me, there is no God. From what we've already talked about, it takes one teeny tiny leap of faith to understand that Jesus is God. That Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Doesn't take that much of a leap at all. That's just what it says. Again, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 has similar language, right? When Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So from everlasting to everlasting, you, Jesus, again, are God. Psalm 90 and verse 2. All right, so not only is Jesus the beginning and the end, but Jesus is everything in between, right? Everything in between the beginning and the end. All throughout the scriptures, we can see from the beginning to the end, prophecies about Jesus coming, about the Messiah's coming and about His work and about His eventual return all throughout the scriptures. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the I Am. He was God in the flesh. He's been with us from before creation. He's with us now in spirit and will be with us for all eternity. And because Jesus is God, that means as the Alpha and Omega and the beginning and the end, Jesus is ultimately the one in control. And that's true again because He is before and behind and all around us, really. And because we know that, that means that we can trust in Him to take care of things. That means that we don't have to be afraid of things. As a Christian, that is, right? Just think about everything going on with COVID-19. There's the fear of getting it, the fear of spreading it, the fear of not being able to get the vaccine, the fear of getting the vaccine, the fear of wearing a mask. Yeah, there are people who are afraid of wearing a mask, the fear of not wearing a mask, and, you know, the fear of dying. For some people, maybe the fear of not dying. I don't really know. You know, and while there are certainly good enough reasons to be cautious about all those things, as Christians, we shouldn't let fear control us. Listen to what Jesus says, again, over in Revelation, chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Do not be afraid." Think about it. Because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end, the risen one who overcame death and Hades, we don't have to be afraid. Because what's the worst that could happen to you as a Christian? I could die. Well, if you're in Christ, you're not dead. Okay. Jesus has it all under control. He will never leave us or forsake us. That doesn't mean that we won't go through struggles and trials, but it means that ultimately Jesus is in control. Men like David knew that the Lord was in control too. Here's what David wrote over in Psalm 17 and verses 6 through 9. Psalm 17, David says, "I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand, and those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me." Again, just think about David's faith. It's amazing how spiritually minded David was compared to all those around him. And that is why David is considered a man after God's own heart. All of his failings, you know, he still came back to God. He still repented. He had a heart for God, you see. Just think about David's faith. In this particular situation with the psalm, David is facing real imminent danger. Not that any of us aren't, right? You know, a meteor could technically fall from the sky. I don't know, the Soviets could decide to accidentally nuke us. And there's all sorts of dangers we could face going out and get hit by a truck. I mean, you could stay locked up in a closet all day fearing things like a little virus going through the air, right? But David is facing real live enemies not too far away. He can see them. They have spears. Saul wants to kill him. You know, this is war. The very real possibility of death is right near him. And yet he believed that God had everything under control. And no matter what, things would work out for God's good. And so David trusted in God to save him. And you know what? We can trust God like that too. We should trust God like that too. Think about it. When Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," he was saying that, you know, I'm never really far from you at all. I've got it all under control. And so no matter the crisis we're facing, whether it's COVID-19, the loss of jobs or loved ones or whatever trial that we're facing, just remember that Jesus is never far away. He's always got things under control. Now, not only is Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, he is the beginning and the end, but as Christians, Jesus is our beginning and our end. He is our Alpha and our Omega. Just think about what it means to be born again, what it means to be a Christian. Jesus remakes our life when we put Christ on in baptism. Our life is renewed. It's begun again. It's our Alpha. Now, people try to live their life without Jesus, and while they could get along, you know, quite well without him, it's not really living as much as it's simply existing. In other words, the soul without Christ is simply getting by with no future and no real purpose for their life. But because Jesus came, our lives can be changed. Our lives can have purpose and have meaning and have a hope and have a future, all because of Jesus. Take a look at how this is possible from over Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And we should know this verse, right? Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, where we're told that as Christians, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Just think about that. No matter what's happened in your past, when we're baptized into Christ, it all gets washed away. God forgives and forgets it. And so in Jesus, we have this newness of life. We have a new beginning. We have an Alpha, right? Jesus is the beginning of that life. Our rebirth into Christ is our Alpha. But Jesus just didn't come to change us and walk away, you know. Think about it again. He is the Alpha and Omega. And that means, you know, whatever Jesus starts, he's going to finish. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that we should always be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 reminds us that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's our end. That's the Omega. When we go to meet the Lord, or he goes, or he comes back, you know, if he either comes back or we go to be with him, yeah, that's it. The point is, Jesus will be with us and see us through to the end. I don't know, think about it this way. Because I've been there. I think just about everyone has, especially us guys, I think. Have you ever spent a good deal of time working on something, only to get to a certain point and say, that's good enough? Of course, you know, what you did is nowhere near perfect, but it's good enough. I'm finished, you know, it's good enough. Well, here's the thing. Jesus isn't like that, you know. Jesus is a perfectionist, if you will. And that means that when he works in our lives, good enough is never good enough. Meaning that Jesus is never simply satisfied with beginning a good work in us and then walking away and saying, it's good enough. The point is simply that Jesus will never stop working on us and in us and through us until he's finished. Take Leonardo da Vinci, for example. Love Leonardo. Just about everyone knows about the Mona Lisa, and if you haven't, you can Google it later. But if you haven't, you probably haven't been around all that long, right? Anyway, Da Vinci was commissioned by a patron to do that painting for money. Hey, you know what? Artists getting paid to do work, that's a good thing, right? Now, if Leonardo had simply been interested in the money, he could have painted that portrait real quick and handed it over and gotten his money and just been done with it. Would have been good enough. But Leonardo never really painted for the money. And so 30 layers of paint and 4 years later, the Mona Lisa was finished. But why? Why would he put so much effort into his painting? Why would he keep adding more and more layers of paint to his artwork? Well, he kept working and reworking that image until he was pleased with it, until he was satisfied with it, until he was finished. And in the end, he loved that painting so much that he never gave it to his patron. He kept it to himself. Well, he eventually handed it over, but he kept it to himself for a while. You see, but that's just what Jesus does with us. He constantly is working and reworking us. Think about it. Until Jesus comes back again or we go to be with him, Jesus will never quite be done with us. And that's because to Jesus, we're more valuable than all the riches in the world. He's not going to say, oh, that's good enough. And so he's still working on us so that we could be the best that we could be. And in the end, Jesus doesn't give us up. Jesus keeps us for himself because he loves us so much. Unlike Leonardo, he's not going to hand you back over. Well, the Apostle Paul says it this way over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul writes, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so, as Christians, Jesus is our Alpha, he's our beginning, and all those works that he's prepared in advance for us to do, well, that's the middle, right? He's working on us and in us and through us until the end, meaning that Jesus is not just our Alpha, he's our Omega too. He's not just the beginning of our new life, he's the end. He's the one who brings about the completion of our existence. Again, in Ephesians, this time in chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Jesus tells us that Christ loved the church. That's you and me, right? "And gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, the assembly of God's people," again, that's you and me, "without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." In other words, because of what Christ has done, the life that we live as Christians can be brought to completion because of his sacrifice on the cross. Again, think about it. Jesus gave himself up for the church, for you and me. Jesus sanctified the church. He sanctified you and me. Jesus cleansed the church. He cleansed you and me. And so Jesus is the one who did all the work. You know, you can never do enough, right? You can never be good enough. None of us can do it on our own. No one will ever get to heaven because of how righteous we are. We'll only get into heaven because of how righteous Jesus is. It's all about Jesus, really, right? That means that if Jesus is not your Alpha and Omega, if Jesus is not your beginning and your end, if Jesus is not your first and your last priority, then you're simply not going to make it through heaven's gate. You know, all throughout Revelation, we see Jesus called by different names. Names that describe him and tell us about his power and his majesty. Jesus is called the root and the offspring of David, meaning that Jesus is the Messiah, or the Christ, the King that was descended from David, who is to rule over all creation. And like we've been talking about today, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And we said that being the Alpha and Omega means that Jesus is God. And being the Alpha and the Omega means that Jesus is in control and we don't have to be afraid. And as a Christian, the Alpha and Omega means that Jesus is our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end. And while there are other names that Jesus is called in the book of Revelation, one of them is rather interesting, the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the bright and morning star and connects Jesus with an ancient symbol for victory. In other words, Jesus is the victor. He's the winner. He's defeated death and Hades, and you and me get to share in his victory if he is our Alpha and Omega. And so if Jesus is not your Alpha and Omega, he can be, simply by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, well, you begin again. He's your Alpha, you know? And you continue to live for him until Jesus comes back again, your Omega, or you go to be with him. And for those of us who've already have Jesus as our Alpha and Omega, for those of us who are already Christians, again, remember that Jesus is God. He's in control. So there's no need to fear or worry because, again, Jesus is our beginning and our end. So if anyone has the need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share, to seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, you're always encouraged to come as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.